It is what it is. It's not been a great day, but it's you know, it's always a good day to hear from our sponsors over at growgeneration.com. And yeah, I might actually kind of need them myself. More on them a little bit later. Oh God, Manny.
What's on your mind, Kyle?
You know, I have said before that Ghostbusters Afterlife is probably not going to be a Ghostbusters movie. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like how Resident Evil's not really a Resident Evil movie. It's a good zombie movie. It's a great zombie movie, but it's a terrible Resident Evil slash video game movie. You know, it's just utter garbage. And I gave up a long time ago on Ghostbusters ever being recaptured. And it appears that my thoughts on the tone of the film and all that seem to be right based on the trailer and a little clip that came out yesterday. Everyone should have seen it by now. Wonderful little mini puffs. They're adorable. They're cute. They're everything you would expect in like a real Ghostbusters episode, Ghostbusters 2, which a lot of people didn't like. I did because I was young enough to. But I don't know. No, Manny. To me, this just confirms Sony didn't get Ghostbusters again. What do you think?
So I hadn't seen the trailer until I was at the drive-in this past weekend, and I didn't get any Ghostbusters vibes from it. I wasn't sure what it was. You know what I thought? You know what I thought, and this is kind of a sad thought. Mm-hmm. I was like, this for whatever reason feels like a sequel to It, where the kids are actually prepared to take down Pennywise.
You know? That's a good way to put it.
And then I saw the clip yesterday. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, you could also now check out on our LRM YouTube page.
Yes.
Thanks to our friends over at Sony. And
they must never watch me.
I wasn't sure what I was watching. Like, so is this what it's going to be? Is it just going to be an hour and a half of nostalgia? I haven't seen exactly what the plot is. I don't really understand, because based on what I've seen, it's really the kids rediscovering old tech. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's also what the studios are doing. Sony is discovering Ghostbusters and trying to figure it out in the movie. I'm sorry, Kyle. It's not going to be good.
Do you think it won't even be a good movie on its own? Like, not related to good. Like, if you cut the OG out of the equation and look at it as just a supernatural fun film, like an It, but PG-13. Do you think it might have, because I think it might still be a okay movie on its own. Do you think it can even be that?
No, just because of the fact that I feel that it's going to rely heavily on its Ghostbusters nostalgia. And so if you think about it that way and you take that away, what do you have left?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
there's
these kids.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. So like, and I really like Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And
obviously,
same here.
Yeah, you do too. But man, it's funny because it sounds easy to recapture that nostalgia, but I just don't know how that works now. But I mean, it's a simple plot. just angry ghost, powerful, a new group of people who take up the mantle and figure it out as they go and defeat the angry ghost, you know, maybe yeah. Slimer every you know, here and there, a Bill Murray cameo, and you're good. I just don't understand why they felt like they had to reinvent the wheel and do it with kids. It's mind-boggling, but then again, so is a lot of the decisions studios are making right now over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but like DC deciding, we're gonna do a multiverse, but we're gonna use the excuse that we don't want to confuse audiences to cancel some projects.
Yeah, which is a stupid thing to say because you have how many Batman right now?
Yeah, I know, right? And yeah. Sony. Look. I've said this a million times. There's a specific type of humor that made the original film what it was. It is a good mix of highbrow, clever comedy from the ad-libbing and the script, and then it's got a couple of low, you know, dirty bathroom jokes, but only a couple. The rest of them they're blue collar, but they take comedy up a step. You know, it's not just silly noises, right? And you can't do that with kids. That humor is barely in the second one. The second one is a lot like a live The Real Ghostbusters episode, which is what this looks like, which when I was 8 left an impression on me. And that's why I today can look at Ghostbusters 2 and say, yeah, guys, that's definitely nowhere near like the original. Even I still like it because I liked it when it when I was young and it came out and it made that impression. It's got that nostalgia button with me because it wasn't terrible for a kid. This might not be terrible for my kid, but they missed their chance 10 years ago when they were fucking around with Apatow's guys, Rogan and Sarah and them, thinking they were going to do Ghostbusters with them.
Mm.
Good idea. Bring in some young adults, college-aged, like, adults, a couple of the old Ghostbusters, pass the torch, brand new franchise. I don't like Apatow's guys most of the time, and their humor, a bunch of nothing but dick and fart jokes, right?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been good either. That would have been as utterly garbage as Answer the Call. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it because it would have been a little, it would have, like it, you, like you said, it kind of ruins the amount of jokes you can tell because, you know, kids can't tell certain jokes.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, say certain things. And then you kind of expect grownups. And you know, I also don't agree that, you know, I didn't hate the previous Ghostbuster film with the female cast just because I find them funny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay. There's just problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
As I sit here and talk about it, I also don't know exactly how I would do one also, just because, I mean, there's just some films, man, that are very hard to recapture.
Yes.
This might be one of them.
Yes. And, Back to the Future would be another one, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, Back to the Future should never be done
Zemeckis
again.
And I forget the other, Gail. Zemeckis and Gail are like over our dead bodies, legitimately.
So, yeah, because think of think about like Back to the Future when it was done, there was a lot of optimism about the future and about future technology and about things that you know we could, you know, we're gonna have hoverboards and we were gonna have, you know, a bunch of different things. I think here in 2021, the mood's a lot more pessimistic. And also, we have so much more technology that it makes some of those things hard to believe. So it's just interesting to try and do films like that now where the tech just, you have to go so far and beyond what we have now that it doesn't seem unreal. It doesn't seem very realistic. So I don't know, man. I came to this podcast this morning thinking I don't know what Kyle's gonna be like this morning.
I'm trying to keep it under control. I lost it yesterday, and this is why. You guys, I got the mini puffs. They're cute, right? Man, you want a plushie, right? I already want a fucking plushie. Look at my Grogu. I got that at the Naval exchange. They were on sale for like $14. So Lucas and I each got a Grogu. And I'd get a mini puffed. I think it's adorable, but I don't fucking want that shit in my goddamn Ghostbusters movie.
The safe puff, man, it was, you're going to have to explain to me why they're there. Like, is it just nostalgia? Because
yes,
like if you think about it, when we first saw him, it was one of the characters' happy thought, and so what does it serve this movie other than being nostalgic? And I'm afraid that the movie's gonna have too many of those moments, where it's like, create things, make something new, but you're doing it with these kids. And I just, it just doesn't work for me. I don't like it.
It's so it's that tone, guy. And I said this with the kids. I pointed things out like in the trailer we see the kids handling the equipment way too easy, right? And right. I look back at jokes in the very very first movie about the weight of the equipment and not liking it, and then jokes in the second movie, Bill Murray putting the proton pack. I always hated this part of the job. It's actually a very very meta joke because the character's saying it funny, but Murray actually hates wearing that prop, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna have an 11-year-old female running around able to do it, even an 11-year-old male at peak like getting ready to play JV football is going to have issues playing with this damn thing, let alone someone that's not athletic at all, you know. Mm-hmm. an 11-year-old with no athleticism. And it's like, no. Paul Rudd here, I love him. When the commercial first started, I got kind of like the hairs raised up a little. I was like, oh God, is this going to be good? The music was there. This cinematography looks good. Like the actual shots of the film, the cuts, all of that looked great. And it was all ruined as soon as the mini puffed came out because of the way it looked even. And then the rest of it with the barbecue-hooing themselves and all of that, it pissed me the fuck off because I was right, and I hate it. I wanted so badly for them to figure out a way to do it, to have enough of the original, but enough new that you can carry forward. And I got to ask you something. Nick tried to say that there's more successful reboots or soft sequels or whatever you want to call them that are wildly different than their original than there are successful ones that were close to the same. And I was like, really? Because Jurassic World is Jurassic Park, bigger. 100%. I think you might be muted. There you go. Right? Is it not?
Yeah, with the park just open.
Yeah. And then episode 7, The Force Awakens, is very much A New Hope with touches of some other things. And then you can look at a few horror genres that might be able to do the soft reboot thing, or, you know, the direct / indirect sequel. But if you change too much, you lose the core audience. Don't change enough, you don't gain a new audience. I hate to do this, but look at Marvel. They managed to snag the overwhelming majority of us comic book fans and all of our friends that never picked up a comic book either.
Well, they didn't reinvent anything.
That's it. They didn't reinvent anything.
I mean, all their movies are real cookie cutter plot lines, and you know what to expect. Sure, there's some cameo surprises, Easter egg surprises, and you know, a couple of twists here and there, but overall, the tone, are they're all very, very similar.
But it's everything else, individual character arcs that draw you in, like right. In a comic book, an individual artistic style, like James Gunn, like an artist does in a comic book, you know, right. Individual actors,
I feel a lot of sometimes. There's a lack of creativity and originality in studios, which is why they're always looking for something to reboot.
Yeah.
And it's more about what will bring in the people than necessarily we want to do this because creatively we're very passionate about it.
Yeah.
Transformers is a perfect example, I think. Although Bumblebee, I think they did a very good job with. But it seems like after the second one, they just kind of phoned them in. And thanks to international markets, they do so well. But something like Ghostbusters, I think that I don't see the thing about Ghostbusters is not a kid's.
Not originally, it was never supposed to be. No, we just liked it because ghosts, flashy lights, and our parents liked it,
right?
Until the second one, where we were a little bit older, had seen the cartoon, and the second one was like the cartoon, and all the kids, yeah.
So I don't know, man. I mean, they had a video game a couple years back that was pretty
2009
good.
Is fucking amazing. Yeah. Got remastered for PS4 and I think Xbox One or whatever, but that was actually technically in Harold and Danny's mind, that was Ghostbusters 3 for them. That was actually canon for them. They wrote really? It. Okay. Yeah, and they're basically Aykroyd's a big everything Ghostbusters is golden, but it was a good story. I loved playing it, and it was the Ghostbusters experience for video games everyone had always wanted.
Yes.
It's got good replay value to what made things even worse yesterday after seeing this clip was that it came days after Bill Murray had just said that this movie was going to be more in tone with the original. I said it's more like the original than Ghostbusters 2 or Answer the Call. And I'm like, okay, maybe the 8 minutes you're going to be in it, you know, maybe that is. I don't know if you saw everything else that they're doing though. And again, it was just so infuriating because it's like Sony just got done saying last year how, oh, we've studied the Marvel playbook. We know how Feige makes movies. We've made good movies on our own. And no, you obviously haven't learned jack shit, man. Like, it's almost not I know some people are always like you know, like Jammer, reboot anything because you're always going to have the original. But at some point, you got to start looking at some of these things like a business model. And it's like, okay, we might be able to put something out with a big IP attached to it and make a few bucks. But we're going to run it into the fucking ground when instead we could invest our money fucking wisely, make something fucking good, and then be able to carry that on and actually make good real money with it versus fucking nickels and dimes with garbage and just fucks Sony. Why Spider-Man, you fuck up. Ghostbusters, you fuck up. You guys can't even fucking hold on to Bond after it did really. I'm joking. That's a completely different situation there. But I don't know, man. Look, there's what, three old studios left. Warner's, Sony is old, but Warner, Sony, and Paramount, really. Viacom. I mean, they're all part of other conglomerates, but that's it. That old fashioned, and two out of those three knuckleheads, Warner Brothers and Sony.
Well, I'm gonna tell you one thing: Mortal Kombat's not a bad reboot.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing that in the theaters.
That's all I can say about that for right now.
Yeah. What do you think it is with these studios where sometimes it seems like they hear, but other times they don't, man? What is it, Manny? What are
two
we
words,
missing?
Man. Two words, man. Money first.
I just got done explaining how you could make like more money with Spider-Man than they could ever fucking dream
money
of.
Money first. The perfect example of this is just executives not understanding what they have because
they
of the fact
learned
that
in business school.
they're owned by bigger conglomerates that don't understand characters. They look at the bottom line, and they look at what's working, you know, in their neighbor's yard.
Yep,
and that's how they make decisions.
That's why we got
think about
it.
This is not a push for the Snyderverse or anything like that, but
chill.
but Zack Snyder had a good film.
Yeah,
and that actually, I think, after seeing the ending, not necessarily the nightmare sequence, but after seeing that ending, setting up the Trinity very, very well, and some of the other characters like Cyborg and the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And it was leading to something grander. And was it different? Yes, but it was good. It was the Wonder Woman that we wanted to see a lot more,
right?
Warrior-esque. You know, we had it's really hard to do Cyborg character development, and I think that's where the film succeeded the most. And just things like that. They did the same thing with David Ayer's Suicide Squad. They changed it to match a trailer, which is not David Ayer's style. Mm-hmm. David Ayer's style, that is, don't hire David Ayer if that's what you want to do. You know, ruin your movie with what's the name of the director from Fantastic Four?
Trank.
Yeah, ruin the movie with him. Don't get David Ayer, who can give you a good Suicide Squad film. But you know who made those decisions? It was executives. It wasn't the people actually making the film. So because why? They were afraid it wasn't going to make money.
And they thought they knew what would.
They did, and they didn't, obviously. Nope. So, you know, it's the fact that they look at it more as money than they do as a film. And so you're left making decisions based on a piece of paper with maybe a pie chart or something.
Yeah.
With people who necessarily don't even like the product. They're just in the room to make decisions.
Kind of like I this is old news. I'm sure most people that have either gone to business school or been in the business field for looking for jobs, union bosses. There's a lot of union bosses of sectors that they've never worked in that set. They're like professional union bosses. You know, that's what they do. These execs are professional movie execs. They knew, and I'm using the past tense on purpose. They knew how to get movies made, and they knew connections and where, you know, they climbed the ladder because they could get those movies made. But at some point, a lot of their methods remained valuable as far as, you know, hey, reaching out to foreign countries for on-site locations, tax breaks, labor saving costs. Some people might not look at all of these things as good things, but these are things that go into movie production and budgeting and all of that, whether you like it or not the tax breaks or whatever. But those things might stay the same, but what matters to the audiences, what stories, what characters, that changes. And I don't know what it is. It's just like politicians across the world, especially in the West, those last bit of the lost generation and the boomers, man, they won't give up the idea seats, you know. And I'm not making fun of boomers, like, oh, boomer, you don't. There's lots of baby boomers that get it, love it. They're the ones that raised the Xers and the millennials like us that have rooms like this Sony, this is your audience. I hate to tell you this, but somebody that says I like Ghostbusters and the only thing in their house is maybe the DVD or Blu-ray, they might like Ghostbusters. They might go see your movie. They're not going to buy your merch. And that right there, that's the money. That's why Mini Puffed is there. I get that. Not saying Mini Puffs shouldn't exist. I'm just saying you guys missed the mark again, and I fucking knew it.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
I'm sorry, man. I pondered about this yesterday, and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to have to deal with this tomorrow.
Jammer used to get it raw sometimes because it would be like the morning of some stupid Spider-Man news or some stupid Ghostbusters news, or you know. Well, the funny part is that I am a diehard, dedicated PlayStation fan, like Sony Computer Interactive or Entertainment, whatever they go by these days. That's it, man. 1998, I got a PlayStation, and Desert Strike and Final Fantasy VII, and been on the train ever since, you know. Oh, but the movies, fuck, dude. I just, these studios, they've gotta find that balance. The Disney's learned that they got the balance wrong, and now they're dumping as much non-canon shows like Tartakovsky's, I said his name wrong, I'm sorry, Jindy's Clone Wars, and new artwork on the Legends books, so they don't have to pay the original artists cheapskates, but smart business move. And they learn even, oh, we might have these new fans willing to see a movie. They're not buying any merchandise. Who buys the merchandise? The people that like the EU. Who? So
But the thing is, Disney is also willing to take risks with their own products too.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they knew that there was going to be a lot of people who did not appreciate the fact that Mulan didn't have music.
Yeah.
But it was a different way to present the story.
Yes, it was.
Jungle Book, I think, is another one I think that they did fairly well with. Not making it exactly like the original, but taking it some creative liberties. Maleficent did well.
Yes.
With just flipping the perspective. And, you know, now next month, we're also going to get Cruella, which looks fantastic.
I like Emma Stone a lot. Very, very, yeah. very talented
I think
actress.
Emma Stone and I think it's Emma Thompson also.
I don't know.
That's her first name? I don't know. But they released a clip yesterday also on our site. Kind of showing that it's going to really be her, you know, her upbringing and what changed in her life and what about that relationship between, like, I'm guessing it's her boss or something that really, you know, ticked her off to the point where she dyed her hair new colors and hates Dalmatians. But it's different. It's 70s London. It doesn't necessarily even feel 100% Disney, mm-hmm. but it's different. And they're willing to, they spend so much time in their research and their development and what will work, what won't, where they're willing to take risks. I know that their upcoming Pixar film, well, it's Pixar, so it's not necessarily Walt Disney, but it's, they're owned by Disney.
Right.
They're changing up their animation style it almost looks a little bit more claymation-y, but you know, that's the style that they want to go with it. And because we're so used to seeing Pixar movies in one note necessarily for their animation, they decided to change it up for Luca. And I'm like, that's great. You guys, you know, do different things. Mm-hmm. And so they obviously have a big division of people just thinking this stuff up, but they somehow get it right.
Yeah. And that what you said, and as you were pointing out, risks with their own properties and them paying off, and even existing IPs doing enough familiarness that, because I don't give a fuck about 99.9% of musicals. So most Disney movies outside of like Aladdin and The Lion King, I can't stand, because I like Nightmare Before Christmas. I like Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And I like Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I think that's like the three big musicals I like. And that's it. But I Mulan is a great example, because it's not we don't really know how that would have done. You know what I'm saying? It had a lot of controversy because of the communist Chinese party government and things going on with them. And if that wasn't going on, and the pandemic, would this film be, would it have been different, more successful? Possibly. There's no denying that you still have to do something to reach that original core audience, because without them, they're not even necessarily going to drag their kids to go see it. You know, somebody, I don't remember who said it. I was like, I said if a parent doesn't want to take their young kids to it, they don't have to, and the kid will never be the wiser. And mm-hmm. Up until a certain age, that's absolutely true. So if you don't grab the OG fan, you might not get anybody in the family. That might be three, mm-hmm. four, five tickets gone, because one person in the house is like, that's not what we should see, because it's not what, you know, what I know it should be. Anyway, Hayes, Any last words on Ghostbusters? Actually, let me share one more image with everybody, and this is that new logo work we've got going on. I don't know why the rivets and the change in the texture and stuff, but
it's okay.
It's, yeah. It's just, I'm always wondering if it means something or if this is just their way to try to differentiate a bit. I don't know. But I will say I'm glad it didn't come about from some tagger. And I'm glad it's not as bad as changing a what was a good plot point to someone's eye being scratched out by an alien cat. So, theaters, man, speaking of those, I went and saw Godzilla versus Kong in theaters last week with my son. Can you believe that movie did almost $50 million opening weekend, Manny? Is that not a positive sign for the whole film industry? The fact that while we still have states with limited indoor capacity, people used that capacity.
Absolutely, man. It's a great sign. It shows that, number one, there's still obviously a high demand for theaters.
Yes.
And it's a smart, it also shows that your audience is really smart, because most of the people watching Kong versus Godzilla, I'm going to assume that there's a good majority of them who have HBO Max, because it's getting very, because of the amount of films that they have on there now each month, it's worth it. It's worth the price, you know, with A Big Bang Theory, Who's Line. I mean, they have so much good stuff on there.
Who's Line? That, Big Bang. Oh, Who's Line's great.
What are you talking about? Big Bang. There's so many moments in Big Bang Theory that I related to my teenage years, man, that it's close to my heart.
Okay. I found them insulting, but whatever.
No, I did not. There's a specific moment in Big Bang where he goes, I forget the main character's name because I'm so terrible with names.
Not
Sheldon. I'm so bad with names.
Whatever.
I don't even know why I'm in this industry. he goes to sell all of his action figures in a ploy to try and be more attractive to Penny because that way he's going to seem more grown up.
Yeah.
But in doing so, he's giving up a part of himself, and he's very, very emotional about it. But because he wants a girlfriend, he's willing to make that sacrifice to be more normal, you know. Mm-hmm. And during my teenage years, I remember doing, you know, stupid shit like that, or you know, just to try and fit in a little bit better with the cooler kids. And then in the end, it just ended up making me feel miserable. It's things like that, man, that really take me to that show. But back to the original point, that's a whole other topic. It's a smart audience that knows that Kong versus Godzilla should be experienced on the big screen. If you're happy with watching it on your TV, more power to you. That's fine.
Yeah.
But there's a group of people out there who says, no, these big giant characters are probably going to look better on the big screen. I saw the movie on the TV and I saw the movie at the drive-in, and they looked way better at the drive-in.
Yep.
Just the massive scale of them. It's filmed for you to see in theaters, not for you to enjoy at home. I mean, you'll be able to watch it at home later and it'll be great. But same thing with the Mortal Kombat with upcoming. When I talked to Simon McCoy, the director, he said this film's made to be enjoyed in a theater with surround sound, Atmos sound, so you can dark get room. All the kicks and the grunts and the you know, the techno music, whatever that they're going to be having. So I think you're just going to see more. I mean, hell, baseball, for example, they opened up Texas, the Arlington Stadium, full capacity. What do they get? Everybody want to go see baseball.
Sold out.
So everybody's clamoring to go out and do things, and theaters is not an exception.
I don't think people realize with what is it, 144 or 148 games in a season, something like that, or 160 something. Anyway,
160 games.
Hundreds. Yeah. It's hard to sell out baseball. It is like for some teams, it's hard to sell out, and it's hard to sell out regularly. That's a sign of people willing to go, and the guys and girls staying home at home to watch the film. As long as you're paying for it, I'm down. That's fine. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's always been my big thing with these movies is it's like, if you want, you know, restore the Snyderverse, if you want Monsterverse to carry on, you want more Avengers Endgame, you have to pay for it. You have to be willing to pay for it, or go buy merch.
Yeah. And actually sometimes buying the merch helps out more.
It's a lot more.
like if a Power Rangers movie bombs,
the merch can save it.
But the merch sales are high. You know, they're like, no, keep making those damn movies. And that's why they can't make Transformer movies.
Yeah.
That in China. So, yeah, no, I agree with you, man. It's great to see theaters starting to open. I can't wait to continue to go. We're supporting a local drive-in because, you know, they do a lot for the community. And they have the indoor, they own the indoor theater too. It's locally owned. Mm. So they've been able to survive thanks to their, you know,
drive-in. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny. My daughter, she had gone to the drive-in when she was younger. She just didn't remember that much. So we took her again this past weekend, and man, did she have the hell of a time, because they had the speakers working again. Yeah. It wasn't just the radio. You know, we had the pizza and the folding chairs and the inflatable bed in the back and everything. And, you know, I told her, I was like, this is how people used to always watch movies. This is in Greece, like in the, you know, and it was a dying industry until the pandemic saved them, which is strange, right?
Yeah. Even we had a pop-up drive-in theater come about. Somebody decided to put one up during the times when things were all closed. I am now very interested in how Mortal Kombat's going to do next week. Is it?
No, they pushed it back to the 24th, I think.
Okay. So the 23rd, 24th? 23rd, 24th.
And the 16th? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
they pushed it back a week because Kong's doing so well that they wanted to give it some breathing room. Which is fine, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. And you know what? The theaters are probably like, well, fuck, a week. Okay. Whatever. Sure. Because I bet. They would like the double influx,
I do appreciate that from Warner Brothers that they're facing out. They're like, you know what, this is doing really well. Let's give them a chance to really play it out, because then you have the problem of trying to show too many movies at once. It's kind of an exciting time, man. I'm getting my first shot today, and I'll be done in a couple weeks. And that way I don't have to worry about that for outdoor events like baseball games. You have to the Giants, for example, San Francisco Giants, you have to either have both shots a couple of weeks before your game, or a negative test 3 days before the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once you have your shots, it's scary, man. It's scary because if you think about it, they're always, for years, they've been bitching and moaning about taking flu shots, and now it's almost going to be a requirement, I think, for events, for concerts, and for things like that to show that you've been vaccinated.
That's a whole different thing.
For example, there's the Comic-Con show coming on Thanksgiving weekend. Is that going to be a requirement there? And so I'm very curious to see how that plays out in the entertainment business, movie theater. Conventions, concerts, and things of that sort.
Without getting into the politics mm-hmm. of it, to stick just with like the business side of it and contracts and things like that, employment, contracts, contracts to provide or get services for this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. always can require that vaccination records and things like that. General public is where you start getting into, you know, where you got to look at laws, HIPAA laws, and, mm-hmm. and things like that, and what can a private company that you don't have a a contract with outside of the normal, I can visit your business because by law you can't discriminate against anyone for XYZ. My only big fear has been, and part of the theater lookout and what you mentioned with people that are comfortable at home, that's fine. I get it. But let's not forget that our immune systems, they work off the same methodology that our muscles do, which is without use, it gets weak.
Mm-hmm.
So if we start doing this thing where we don't go out, where we never get sick, where we're afraid of a cold, where we're afraid of when we're healthy, I'm not talking about when we're older or when we got infants or we got an illness, but we're afraid to get strep throat or something like that. Got to use the immune systems every now and then, guys, against something more than histamines, you know, allergy, geez. So I just hope society doesn't end up creating these super bugs that we can't survive because we weaken our immune systems by doing Wall-E too early, but here on Earth, you know, like, fuck. So
we're already there, man. We're controlled by Alexas and now Tesla and Amazon delivers everything to us, and
oh yeah, they do.
Oh, you have Roombas and
Roombas with mini puffs from Walmart delivered to your house.
It's gonna be interesting just to tie it all back together, just to see how we come out of this as far as entertainment.
Yes.
What are press rooms gonna be like? Because they keep telling us in press rooms, we can't wait to have you all back together. And my question usually is, really? Are you really looking forward to that? Because how easy it is to set up Zoom meetings and things like that. Or has this, in a way, quote unquote, evolved us into something else, something new, something different? But then again, when big things like that happen, 9/11, for example, nobody really batted an eye about metal detectors everywhere.
Mm.
And things like that. I was like, whatever. I'm going to Universal, whatever.
Yeah.
Just get, you know,
and then Patriot Act, I flipped and lost my mind, but
and then it's definitely changed things. Like Six Flags, we were watching the video because they're opening, I think they're open now, actually, Magic Mountain, and we're very excited to get to go soon.
Miss Magic Mountain.
Especially because of the fact that they're offering like a whole year for $75.
That's
probably right down our alley. but their new state of the art metal detectors and temperature scanners and things like that they were showing off in their safety videos, it was really impressive. And it's gonna be normal. It's gonna be the things that in 2 or 3 years is just gonna be another part of our lives. Which, whatever.
We'll see how people handle that.
There's one place if you really want to test your immune system.
Yeah.
And you really want to, you know, make sure you catch everything, but you know you'll be stronger for it. Jump in a mosh pit.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to go back to a live show, guy. You're not lying. The amount of times I've come out with colds, flus, even strep throat, and I get strep throat just thinking about it. Like,
stop thinking about it.
Exactly. but people sweating, singing, all of that. But you know, it's a fucking amazing time. I can't fucking wait for it. That's gonna wrap it up for us, guys. Thanks to our sponsors. I'm gonna have to splice in an ad because I totally forgot to step down, because that's just Sony. Hey, anyways, you guys make sure you're checking out the website every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. LRMonline.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Our interviewers are kicking ass. Gig, Nancy, some other guy wears hats. That guy right there. Manny, he does good with the interviews too. And all of our shows, LR Mornings, Breaking Geek, Marvel Multiverse, Anime Reversal, the Cantina, all that there as well. And also on our podcast network, podcast channel, wherever you get the podcast from, look for some new branding. Genreverse by LRM Online is going to basically be this podcast channel. So look for the branding. We're not going to leave you guys out. And no, I heard a rumor. We've not been sold or bought by anyone. We are simply expanding our horizons.
Getting too big for our damn selves.
Yeah, I know, right? So yeah, Manny, tell the good people about yourself a bit.
Well, I'm 6'1". currently in a very fantastic
6'1"? Really? Are you sure?
Yeah. You've never seen me live.
I know. I'm mad because now I have to say 69.5 inch. I lost a half inch through my military career.
Oh wow.
Okay. But in the army, on your charts, you always round to the up. And so since I was always just over 69.5, I could be 70 inches, but now I'm not.
Okay. So. No, you can find me on Twitter at LRM underscore Emmanuel. You can also find me on Instagram at BrittleMavis underscore 510. Cool interviews coming up all week. Next 2 weeks, we'll have some Mortal Kombat stuff for you. We'll have all kinds of good stuff. So yeah, just keep in touch.
Good stuff. You guys find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Grow Generation. Make sure you guys check them out, and we will talk to you tomorrow.